Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Leng and I have a very special guest host with me this evening who is...
It's Ben Clark from I Guess It By. Woo!
Woo!
Find it weird to introduce myself.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah. You were a guest on the show not too long ago, I guess.
No, I think it was a couple of months ago, yeah.
Yeah. I said to our producer, I was like, he's very chatty, we should have him in if Bobby ever can't come in.
Oh, great, yeah, thanks. No, I think I messaged you as well, being like, oh, if you ever need someone, I'll happily oblige, because I had such a nice time last time.
So, good, yeah. And here you are. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming in. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good. I've, like, it's been a busy few months. Honestly, don't think I've stopped to catch air. But
what have you been doing?
Just like
holidaying, partying.
Yeah, you know, the usual. Yeah, just like a few festivals, like a couple of prides, a lot of just like functions and stuff.
Yeah, you're getting invited to events.
Yeah, events. Mm. Yeah, those. And then also like moving a flat, which was like absolute like nightmare.
Hell
like,
on earth.
Oh, I hate it. I forget how much I hate moving.
Have you got housemates?
I've got housemates, yeah.
Okay.
But I was just like in London right now trying to find somewhere is...
That's affordable and nice.
It's one or the other.
Mm. And you're in East London, so it's really... Yeah. My first flat I moved to in East London had a room that was so mouldy that we couldn't go in it.
Wow.
And the landlord did very kindly give us £200 off.
Oh, that's very nice of him.
The rent as a result, and then blamed us for not opening the window. So I'm fully aware of what it's like. The house hunt in East London.
Yeah.
But you're there now, you're enjoying it.
I'm there, I'm right in the heart of Hackney.
Lovely.
It's great, yeah, honestly. And like, we had that heat wave the other week, didn't we? And I went down to London Fields Lido. Felt like I was on my holidays, you know, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what? I lived in Hackney for so long, never went to Lido.
Shut up, really?
Well, everyone was always saying the water was really cold, so I was like, why do I want to go there for then?
But when there's a like extremely hot day, then it's quite nice.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Maybe I just never had an extremely hot day all the time.
How long did you live in Hackney for?
I'm going to say like 10 years. So quite a long time.
You never had an extremely hot day in 10 years.
I mean, I must have done, but it just never occurred to me. I'm also very averse to very cold water. I'm not one of those people that could do an ice bath.
Oh, really?
Do you know what I mean? That's not my vibe.
I mean, I do squeal as I get in.
But yeah.
You just got to go in.
Go with it.
Yeah. Just all at once.
Yeah, fair. Well, we have a very exciting show coming up today. We have, from Married at First Sight UK, we've got Sophie Brown coming up first. And we also have... the TikTok twink, I think his face is fair to call him, Chris Stanley, who I've actually followed for a while, so I'm kind of intrigued to see what's going on with him. But as ever, whether it's Bobby or anyone else, we like to talk a bit, do the showbiz news. And I think that we probably can't get away without talking at all about Russell Brand, but I will keep it to a minimum because it's very complicated and messy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this out, actually, and so I can blame the producers if there's anything wrong. Four women have alleged sexual assaults between 2006 and 2013 while Russell was a presenter at Radio 2 and Channel 4 and then an actor in Hollywood films. Others have made a range of accusations about Brand's controlling, abusive and predatory behaviour. He's denied the allegations and said that all of his relationships have been consensual. Now, obviously, this news has kind of gone everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And as much as it's obviously like a really disturbing news story, there's also been a lot of people, I think, that have been like, well, it's not that much of a surprise. Mm. Because this has been sort of bubbling away in the background for a while. And it's not the first time this has happened, right? This sort of thing.
No, I think, let's face it, like the allegations were kind of like written on the wall. I feel like no one's that surprised. Mm. But I think because he's so charismatic and charming, there's a lot you can get away with.
Yeah.
I think.
And that's happened multiple times before, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's kind of, really personable people.
Yeah. And I watched the Dispatches documentary on the night. And it's just crazy how much his star rises whilst, like, simultaneously he's getting away with more and more stuff, allegedly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, I just find that, like, you've heard this story time and time again within the, like, sort of media industry with certain people.
Mm.
And I just find it, like, kind of mind-blowing that the same storyline just happens again and again and these people just get away with it because... the people just cover up for them.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, come on, men, like, pull yourselves together. Like, as soon as they get a little bit of power, then they just
turn into monsters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was listening to quite an interesting thing, a podcast this morning, actually, an Australian podcast. And they were saying that it seems like, it feels like, the only way that this is going to stop this sort of behaviour is if other men call out their friends 100%. On their behaviour.
Yeah, definitely.
Because at the moment, that just doesn't seem to happen.
No.
Like, it's like you said, it's covered up or ignored for years and years until the tipping point's reached and someone comes forward.
I guess it's if you had a friend like that, you wouldn't ever want to believe that maybe that they were actually capable of doing something as terrible.
Yeah.
So maybe you might have that, someone might have that friend or whatever who, like, this isn't, I'm not like justifying it.
No.
Like, and those people that aren't calling out their friends, like probably more so straight guys, it's like maybe they're just like, oh, he's just like that, you know.
Mm.
But really, no, you still got it.
Yeah. Like, but also, I think to your point as well, like, obviously, a lot of this will have taken place in private. So you might have seen him being a bit smarmy or a bit, like, a bit gross.
Yeah.
But then you don't see what happens after that.
Yeah.
But maybe you need to put a stop to that first thing.
Yeah. 100%.
I don't think I've got any smarmy friends. And hopefully I'm not the smarmy friend.
If you don't have any smarmy friends, you're the smarmy friend.
But you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you do have to call out that sort of behaviour when you see it. And I think hopefully men will get better and better at that when the more these kind of stories come out, as much as you hope that they don't.
Yeah, 100%. And I have quite a few straight guy friends as well. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
And if they were ever to like act out of line or be like totally degrading, then I wouldn't hesitate to tell them to like
pull themselves together. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. I agree. Well, I think it's going to be a story that runs, and every day there seems to be more stuff coming out. Metropolitan Police are involved, and lots of things going on. So I guess we'll see where it goes. What stories have caught your eye this week?
Well, obviously, apparently Adele's might have got secretly married.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think is kind of devastating for us all, because
you wanted to marry Adele?
No. No, because I'm all for Adele's happiness. Mm. I love Adele, you know, like, she's one of
But I have a limit to how happy she can be.
She's one of my like major pop girlies.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know if Adele is happy, then that means we're not getting an album anytime soon.
Fair. Yeah, that is true, right?
So, as happy as I am, selfishly, I'm like, well, that means we're not going to get any new music anytime soon.
Well, yeah, I guess that is kind of true. So, yeah, she's been dating Rich Paul for a while, hasn't she?
Yeah, this American guy. He works in, like, basketball or something. That's me trying to insert my sports knowledge.
Yeah, I think he's an agent, isn't he, or something that. Maybe, something like, in sports. I have no idea.
No.
Am I right? No. Yes.
I think I've just seen him photographed basketball matches.
And you just assume.
That makes no sense.
He's a sports agent, I've just been told.
Right.
So obviously, the thing is that I do think these stories get kind of whipped up a bit, right? Because Kanye West has called his girlfriend his wife a few times, and then it suddenly gets reported that they've got secretly married.
Yeah.
I think these are good at, like, good click-through stories, and they're good for the showbiz news websites, whereas actually they're probably just, like, super tight and consider themselves husband and wife or whatever.
I can imagine Adele like calling her boyfriend or like her hubby or like her husband. Do you know what I mean? She's probably like, she's like, even though she's not that old, but she likes to proclaim that she's old. She's like, I'm too old to have a boyfriend. I can imagine that.
Isn't she like 32 or something?
I think she's like 35.
Right.
But even
still,
she's like, remember, she wrote when I was young, was it? When she was like 27. It's like, well, I'm 28 now. So does that mean?
Yeah, that's it. You're done.
I'm done.
Off the shelf. I've had this conversation a few times with Bobby, actually. Adele has always been someone that's just kind of like floated on by me. I don't really know why. Yeah, it was the same thing happened with the Spice Girls when I was at school. I just never seemed to get into them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. But then I'd be really into like niche people like Louise Redknapp. Or
it's because you want it to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm just really alternative. So I like Louise. Or actually, Danny Minogue.
Oh, yes. That's a sign of good taste.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Phyllis Bexar. I like those sort of like slightly obscure pop girlies.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Slightly obscure. I mean, let's not push it. This not Bjork. But so Adele's always kind of passed me by a bit.
Yeah.
But I am always interested in what she does and says. And then, like, I see clips of her Vegas shows.
Yeah.
We've seen recently she's obsessed with collecting Christmas ornaments.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I do get quite a lot of her clips on TikTok. Of
people crying.
Yeah. Or did you see that one with the fan in the crowd where he was like, they were trying to make him sit down and then like she had to like tell the security guard off from the stage.
Yeah.
I liked that.
I thought, and good fan. Actually, me and Bob talked about that because when I went to see Jennifer Lopez in Vegas, it must have been about 5-6 years ago now, had kind of a similar thing where people were told to sit down.
Yeah.
And you're like, but it's a gig. It's
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I was like maybe sitting behind him and I was just like wanting to have like...
Well, I think it's with Adele.
I'd probably be like, come on. But at the same time, I'm all for it.
yeah. You're one of those people. You've put your cards on the table. But with an Adele gig, right, it's not like you're like...
You're not getting hyped.
No.
Yeah, no.
Because she kind of...
You're sitting down, you're crying, and you're reminiscing of all those lost loves.
Yeah, Christ. I mean, it really sounds quite depressing. Thank God she's funny, because, Jesus, it would be a bit of a disaster otherwise.
Yeah, it's like half crying from sadness, half crying from laughter, I guess.
Yeah, you don't exactly. Know which one. Yeah. Or crying because of the odd crowd that you found yourself in. Anyway.
Would you go? You spent on tickets.
Yeah, all that. Apparently. Plus flights and hotels.
Yeah.
Would you go and see her?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I saw her at Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last summer 2022. And honestly, to be fair, like, all due to her, I came away being like, that was one of the like best people I'd ever seen live. Like, she was so good. Like, the vocals, the like, just how stunning the staging was. And like, she was performing as like, this like sunset. And I was just like, honestly, she was so, so good.
Really?
Yeah. So, to be fair, like, she is great. And I would see her again, but maybe. Maybe if she was touring, but I don't know if she's going to do that anytime soon. I feel like she's quite comfortable in Vegas now, isn't she?
Yeah, I think that's kind of why she's done it, right?
Yeah.
She's not one of those people that wants to be like...
That's fair.
...going from Sheffield to Leeds in one night or getting on a plane and doing that. I can't imagine her. That's basically why she's doing this Vegas run.
Yeah, fair.
And hasn't she kind of said before, like, she doesn't really like
Yeah, she doesn't really like touring, does she?
Doesn't like touring. I don't think she even really likes, like, promoting the album. Do you know what
really
I mean?
Like her fans.
And she's not like Madonna, who's basically rude to her fans.
At least she tours, though.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, she's trying to.
Yeah, well, she's about to. Yeah, I mean, it's about to start, I think, in London.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing is also with Adele, just before we move on.
Yeah.
She has been married before, hasn't she? And it didn't go very well.
Simon Konecki.
Yeah.
I think that was his name.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Charity boss. I've had to write that many a time. Charity boss Simon Konecki.
Charity boss Simon
Konecki. And see, I always think, this is just my personal experience, if you've had one failed marriage, should you just stop? Should you just stop?
You're unmarriable after one failed marriage.
I think if you can't do it the first time, why try again?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, surely that was so traumatic, the divorce, that you're just like, I don't want to risk that again.
Yeah, especially when you're like as rich as she is.
Yeah.
But then I guess you get an ironclad sort of prenup situation.
I guess she strikes me as someone that would get carried away with love. Do you know what I mean? Like Jennifer Lopez. Like,
they're very similar. I
mean? Yeah. She's like, Jennifer Lopez is like, I'll never get married again.
And then she's on to her fourth.
Ben Affleck for the fourth time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Finally. Wow, they got married. Well, good for her. Congratulations,
yeah,
Adele.
Good for Adele.
Let's hope you make a new album, but you probably won't.
I think you don't get divorced.
Yeah, well.
But they will get an album. But I don't know.
If she's even actually married, because we don't know, she just called
that's
him.
True.
So, I mean, we're really making mountains out of molehills here. So, Strictly started on Saturday.
Yes.
Now,
watch.
So I was actually away this weekend. I was in Margate
having
a lovely time. And then we were out, we went out for dinner, got quite drunk, went to this club night, stayed for maybe an hour, wasn't as good as we thought. My friend was like, shall we go back and watch Strictly? It was like 1 a.m. And I was like, yes. So I watched the first episode quite drunk.
Right.
Very drunk.
Yes.
So I don't really recall that much, but I do know who I really liked.
They must have seemed great if you were really drunk.
Yeah, like fucking Angela Rippon.
Oh.
Nearly 80 years old.
Oh.
Incredible.
Honestly, yeah, what a queen.
She's got some moves.
Yeah, honestly, and the legs on that lady. No, sorry, not to objectify, but...
but also to objectify. Yeah.
It's great. And honestly, it's just like, just seems like... so up for it.
Yeah, like good energy.
Yeah.
Good vibes.
I think she could go quite far, you know.
Yeah, well, the bookies have put her like in the top five.
Really?
Yeah.
Hope she does it for the old girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good.
And also Bobby Brazier, Jay Goody's son.
Yes. Yeah.
Who apparently broke up with his girlfriend just a week before they began.
Maybe that's quite respectful, because maybe he preempted the Strictly curse, so he was like, you're not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disrespect her like that.
That's fair. The poor girl is like, oh, I was really pleased you were doing this, and now I'm maybe not so
But then
sure.
he's got put with that Diane Buswell. And she was like, I was watching it, and she, like, they did their little interviews after they got paired and stuff, and you could see that she was very much trying to enforce, this is just friends. She was like, oh, he's already a little brother.
Oh,
like,
oh
she's
yeah,
doing
perfect.
Very much that. Do you know what I mean? She's, mm-hmm.
The PR team have told her exactly what to say.
Yeah.
I'm sure her partner, Joe Sugg, is probably watching too and keen to. It must be a weird thing for a partner.
Yeah, I was thinking this when I was on my way. Like, have you got a boyfriend right now?
No.
Well, if you did,
would I want them to do it?
Would you be all right? Like, I've not got a boyfriend either at the moment, but like,
I would definitely be a bit like,
yeah, obviously I would not deprive them of the opportunity.
Yeah.
However, I would probably stay at home like every week, just like stressed out my mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And being like watching them touch each other extremely intimately.
Yeah. I think maybe I'd just go on holiday for like 2 months whilst they were on it.
I hope they were voted out early.
Yeah.
Maybe. Make sure you voted for someone else every week.
No, I'm joking. That's making me seem like I'm a real psycho. I think that would like bother me a wee bit. But also, who's on it? I saw my fellow I Kissed a Boy person, Leighton Williams.
Oh yeah,
he narrated the series.
Yeah, yeah. I was literally thinking then he was.
Yeah, no, he wasn't a contestant. No. You missed that part, did you? He's the only same-sex pairing this year, which...
Yeah, with which Nikita, who's the Ukrainian dancer.
Yeah. And they
hot
already,
couple.
Yeah, very hot, yeah. And they already look like they're going to be very good. I think Leighton's already a favourite.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because he's done West End.
But there's always those people in Strictly, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think every year it's like, oh... The same stories like trotted out that you know, blah blah blah. But you think like, well, if everyone was shit,
it would be
a really
very
rubbish
good show. I know. Yeah. Remember when they had what's her face? Ashley from Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah.
I was just like, what?
And they've had loads of like super good, like Nicole Scherzinger did the American one.
Yeah, she won it, didn't
Alexandra
she?
Burke, she's obviously like a trained performer.
Yeah.
They've had loads.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, and I reckon Leighton will do well.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. How much of the cast, can I ask, how much of the cast did you recognise? Because I feel like, no offence to the cast, but I feel like every year I know fewer and fewer people.
I know what you mean. I reckon probably about 50% that I knew straight away.
Yeah.
And then others were like being like, oh, I know them from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they present like Countryfile or something like that.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, that's maybe I've seen them once on that.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple I was just like...
no idea.
They ran out of budget.
But then maybe you're too old now at 28.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they're meant
maybe
for
I'm
like...
no longer the target demographic.
Mm-mm.
But I thought it was aimed at older people.
Yeah, but then they want to get the youth in as well, don't
That's
they?
That's true, right. Yeah.
I mean, technically, you're in like the BBC stable having done I Kissed a Boy. So if it came to you, would you do it?
Yeah, I'd love to do it.
Would you?
I mean, I've got, like, I can't dance for shit.
Right, okay.
But I would love to test myself. I would love to, like, see if I could, like, how good I could get. Because all I can do on the dance floor at the moment is maybe, gun fingers, maybe maybe a slap drop, depending on how drunk I am, a bit of a grind.
Right, fair. Well, so you're probably going the first week, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right.
But... Nah, maybe I'd pull an Anne Whitcomb. You never know.
Oh, and like everyone would love you because you were so bad.
Yeah. I was like, good.
Or what was Judy Murray?
Oh,
she's a fellow Scot.
Fellow Scot.
Absolutely
also
terrible.
Very stiff.
Yeah, there was no action in those hips, was there?
Yeah, no, bless her.
You're clearly a fan though. You do like Strictly.
Yeah, I mean like my granny used to mm-hmm. My granny used to watch it and my mum watches it.
Right.
But like and to be fair, yeah, growing up, it was very much a hot debate on a Saturday night, like X Factor or
Strictly. Oh, yeah, I remember
my
that.
My mum was Strictly, and my dad was X Factor, but my dad worked most Saturday nights, so...
So it's strictly it was.
Yeah, but I was more of an X Factor stan.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, me too, but then I've gotten older now, and I just want to watch two people have a lovely dance together. Right, well, our first guest, Sophie, is almost ready to come in, so we'll play a quick trail, and then we'll get her on.
FUBAR Radio presents... All areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Yeah. Or vagina of cow.
Yeah. But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just the
social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Uncensored. This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
We're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
The Dating Show. Do you remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook? Yeah. And you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. What was the other one? It was It's Complicated. Remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you'd like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you'd give them a little poke.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, weren't it?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
I think it might be FUBAR Radio. I don't know if anyone got that. Our first guest of the evening, Sophie Brown from Married at First Sight, is here. Sophie, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Really good. Thank you so much for coming on.
No worries. Excited.
What's been going down?
New series of Maths is out.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Have you seen
it? Everyone's talking about it.
Have you seen it?
Yes, yeah. I'm an avid viewer.
Because it's had quite a bit of press attention, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. We've got first trans bride, Ella. It's a very young cast, so I think it's going to be, there's talks of a lot of drama.
And do you know people from behind the scenes that can give you, like, insights into what happened? Do you know what happens, or...?
The inside scoop. I thing is, I actually don't want to ruin it for myself.
Fine.
I want to watch it as a viewer and be surprised by things. I've heard a couple of whispers and I've seen some of the headlines, but yeah, I don't know too much.
Fair. So your experience was last year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So my series was aired this time last year, but I got married April 20th, 2022.
And that didn't quite turn out how you'd planned.
No, I'm very much single in my one bed flat. It didn't quite turn out how I thought it would, but I mean, it was one heck of an experience. So
can I ask, sorry, so you said you got married on April 20th, so that first ceremony, are you actually like legitimately married, or
everyone always asks me this?
Sorry.
That's like their first question. I always say I genuinely would have still done it. The American one, I think they do get married.
Right,
Australia
okay.
and England, I think just because of some legalities and things, you don't. But you do, you know, everything but. You do the rings, the vows. So it feels as real as
very
it
much
is, really.
Feels like it. Yeah.
So talk us through, for anyone that didn't know, what actually happened on your storyline on the show.
My storyline. So I got paired with a man from Yorkshire, quite a strong accent, carpenter, quite salt of the earth, quite very, very traditional. I'm quite an independent person, quite career driven. And at the beginning, it was fantastic. We got on so well. The wedding day was amazing. Honeymoon, we had a beautiful time. I think those opinions and things like that. He's quite a stubborn person in his opinions, and in a big group like that, you know, there was a lot of people that disagreed with some of the things he said, including myself. But yeah, it was a difficult journey. We decided to stay together at the end, but it was about a month after where we sort of called it quits, because I think we moved more into the, I don't know, not friend zone, but we just weren't really romantically together at that point.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. It's probably something you could understand, having done I Kissed a Boy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in that scenario, I mean, it was intense for us, so I can't even imagine how intense it was for you guys. But I feel like you do genuinely try, like, your hardest to make it work. And, you know, you are very much in the mindset. So I don't know if it was the same with you. Like, did you like, really give it your all and, like, try your hardest to make it work, even though you might have, like, underneath thought, like, this isn't for me?
Yeah, I mean, for me, genuinely, I was one of the first people found for that series. So although I went in sort of late to the experience, I was found in the October. So it was 6 months before my wedding day. So mentally, I was preparing for a really long time, putting things in my life on hold. Obviously, I wasn't dating or speaking to anyone. I put myself fully into it. And my expectation was, like, all the science, all the questionnaires and things that I did, I was like, it's going to be my perfect match. And they tell you that. Obviously, you sit down every week and you have couples therapy and, you know, they're trying to think of ways for it to work. So you trust in the process, and you also, you give it your all. Like, there were times where, you know, obviously I look back and I really sort of stood by things that happened. But from an outsider's point of view, it's completely different. But so tough when you're in there.
Yeah. And in saying that, like, you're saying you placed your entire trust in the sort of matchmakers and that sort of thing. I've watched a few, like, seasons of Maths, and I sometimes think, do they just put people together just for the drama? Do you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes they seem so different. I'm like, how, where, what,
in what world?
Where's the rationale here? Yeah, do you know what I mean? I'm not talking like particularly about your couple, but do you ever feel like that when you're on the show? Or
it can be really hard, you know, because I think that you're, I don't know, because I put so much trust in it, and it was such a long process to get to that point, and it all felt so real. I guess, yeah, there are some couples where you really do wonder, but I think, I guess there's something there, the reason they put you together. We actually, it didn't make the air, but we asked that on, like, our second couch. We were like, so why are we together?
Oh, nice.
You know, brought us here, because you're genuinely intrigued, you want to know, and especially when you're quite different people, you think, well, they've done something here, you know, there's obviously got to be something. But ultimately, I mean, it is a production at the end of the day as well, so who knows what they're doing when they match people together. Maybe they pull them out of hat.
And that's kind of the thing, these dating shows, I mean, there's a lot of them now, right? And they do not have a good track record of actually finding love for people.
No.
Do you actually think in the end, there's a lot of them, like I said, do you reckon it might end up being one of those things where it gets a bit oversaturated? And also people start to, like, lose interest when they realise that not many couples actually come out of it?
I think it's difficult. I think we've seen that, like, with loads of programs, like reality love programs, you know, like Love Island now is very different than when it started. Yep. And I think it's the same for Maths. I think previously, you know, they didn't do any of the social dinner parties and stuff. Now it's taken on, like, the Australian format. Yep. And then I think definitely this series, like I said, very young cast. There seems to be a lot of drama. Mm. So it's, I think it's difficult. I think as these shows go on, they become, like you said, more saturated. You've got, I don't know, people in it for different reasons.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm like, coming from my experience where, you know, you never really know how you're going to be received, or, you know, you always get, like, a mixed bag of, like, what like, how people find you and that sort of thing. Like, how did you find the reception and that you got, and, like, did you get any negativity, and how did you deal with that if you did?
Yeah, so my experience overall was great, and I get a good reception from people, you know, if I meet them, and I get some amazing messages, and it's unbelievable sometimes. Like, it's crazy to think about. But my first episode was very difficult, because my wedding day, it just didn't come across how it was on the day. Like, it was the most beautiful day. There was no, you know, we got on so well, families got on well, we're all dancing with each other. My dad's dancing with his mum. Like, we're all together. It was just, like, so emotional and amazing. But I think because the way that my narrative was, that actually, you know, people ended up kind of disagreeing with him. I think at the beginning they sort of switched it, so people thought, I don't know, I was going to be this sort of stuck up, you know, materialistic career, like independent girl that was quite like, you know, not open to it, which was not the case. But I got a lot of hate that first episode, which was really hard, especially because I didn't like what I was watching was not correlating with my experience. Yeah. But overall, it was fine. And then I unfortunately, because of some comments that were made by him, brought into this whole like body image thing. I mean, like,
I was going to say, was that, that must have been really difficult.
Yeah, it was really rubbish because I never went into it thinking that that would be a thing. Like, you obviously open yourself up to criticism, but, you know, you don't, I don't know, getting fat shamed and things, and then also just being pulled into this narrative where, like, you know, every interview I was doing was asking about that. Like, I just didn't think that that would be kind of my story. And, you know, I Google myself and it's always the headlines that come up and I'm like, oh, brilliant, that's going to be there forever. But to be honest, it's opened up a discussion to have. And I think that it's important to talk about these things. But it's just rubbish when it's not even you that's the one that's brought it up. It's someone else. And then it sort of becomes your... You know.
Yeah, that's totally true. But that's also the nature of these programs, isn't it? It can go in a direction you have no way of anticipating.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think we were all the same. I think all of us probably had something where it's crazy as well, because you don't always kind of understand the comments you make and things. They might not like land as heavy at the time, but then when you watch it back, you know, it might be that the person on social media really picks up on it and then it just snowballs. You honestly don't know, especially Twitter. God, you know, it only takes someone with a bit of popularity to kind of put an opinion out there, and it can it can build so much traction.
Yeah. And I think what I didn't like appreciate the time as well, is how much, like, it's just how, the fact it's condensed so much into like one episode, do you know what I mean? Like, there was probably 2 days in one episode, and it's like you have no idea what they're going to show, how it's like, which parts of you they're going to show, and that sort of thing. So I guess like that must have played into it as well, because you were like, I don't know which side they're going to show. But
yeah, I think the honeymoon was the craziest one, because they show the honeymoons in like 10-minute sections within the wedding episodes. Obviously, that's a week.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. And we filmed, because we just met each other, we filmed, you know, so much that week. So there's a huge emphasis on those first few moments and like the intimacy stuff as well. So they're like on you all the time. But yeah, whole week within about 10 minutes. And yeah, sure, it's the same for you. But I mean, the amount of, you know, boxes, like the little video things that we do where we do the interviews, God, hours and hours of this. Hardly any of it. It's so frustrating.
I know.
I can only imagine how difficult that must be once you come and see it all in like one sitting as well. Like, it must be a lot. What's your relationship with your ex like now? Do you still communicate or?
No, we don't have any
communication. That was a very quick answer.
Yes, yeah.
No.
No. We don't have any communication, which is fine. Obviously, you know, that's where we're at now. It's a shame because we went through such an experience together. But he's got a new partner now. Mm-hmm. Great. You know, I hope he's happy, but we probably won't be speaking again.
Oh, God. Does that mean you left on bad terms then, or?
Do you know what? The problem with doing, you know, a show is like you film it and it all happens and you share that experience, and then you have that whole wait until it airs on television. You watch it again, you see bits that they say about you that you've never heard before, which adds fuel to the fire.
I hate that so much. And then my fragile ego could not take people's other opinions of me. No, absolutely not.
It's a lot.
I know, it's so hard to watch. And also, you've got to be, you know, you're really good friends with people at that point, and then you watch them say stuff about you. But it just, as soon as the media gets involved and as soon as, you know, things happen, it just snowballs. And we just, I think, just ended up falling out really over that time. It's difficult. I think unless you're like so close and you've kind of got each other's backs and you really trust each other, because, yeah, you know, people go and say things in the media and you just think, what have you done that for?
What's life been like for you since all of this then? Since, what have you been doing?
It's been fantastic. I mean, it was a whirlwind at the time. It was incredible. I was doing all these amazing events and things which I'd never got to do before. So that was amazing. And I worked full time up until about April of this year. So I was still working in my tech job, but now I do some freelance work within that. But then also I do like a lot of presenting and stuff, which is amazing.
Oh, nice.
This has opened the door for that, which has been incredible. Like, I didn't really think about the opportunities, but it has allowed me to get into that. So I'm excited about that. I hopefully get to do more of that.
Yeah, because that's basically, I think, the dream for a lot of people, isn't it? Once you do these shows, if you can find a way to sort of make the presence that you, or the, you know, the fame that you get from a show into something that you can turn into something else, then and monetize it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible because, you know, it's a very weird thing because you get a platform. It is almost overnight. You know, the show's on for a few weeks and then suddenly you have kind of all these followers that follow what you do and message you, and still find it odd when I get the messages that, like, I've just seen you here, or, oh my God, you're there. You know, it's weird that people recognize me still. It's a weird feeling, but it does allow for, yeah, opportunities and things like that. And a platform, obviously, to talk about things that, you know, important to each of us, which is great.
Yeah. And talking about getting recognized, with Jonathan very much in the rear view mirror, dating now, how do you find that? Like, do you get recognized when you, like, on dating apps or when you go out on dates, or, yeah, how's that looking now?
So the thing about this show and the thing about this experience is, like, my dating life is way more horrific now than it was before. Because, yeah, so I went on a date with a guy. I was in Manchester, and, like, four people recognised me and came and spoke to me. And I was please.
Yeah.
But the guy who you were on a date with didn't know you'd done it, or?
I met him out, actually, and again, the timing on things, I was just chatting to him. I don't really mention it. I don't lead with it ever. Mm-hmm. It's only if people are like, I really recognize you, or they come and talk to me about it directly.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you're not wearing a t-shirt with I got married at first sight. I mean, it's really not.
Well, exactly. But yeah, this woman came over, recognized me and came and spoke to me. And he was like, you know, what was that about? And I was like,
were you low-key though? Like, oh yeah, no, I'm a big deal.
Yeah, pretty big deal.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's actually an unexpected thing, I guess, you have to, like, learn to deal with.
I mean, I find that a bit, like, interesting as well, like, being on a dating show. I think you don't really think beyond the dating show, and you don't realise that, you know, these people are going to have their preconceptions if they know who you are and what you're like. So you're like, oh.
Yeah, right.
If it doesn't go too well. But
I thought I'd be, you know, shacked up with babies by now. I didn't really think post.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah,
especially yours was very final. Yeah, so that's true.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Do you have any regrets about doing the show, or would you have done the same again?
No regrets. I think it was a really difficult experience, and it's been difficult since, you know, things come up and they affect you and the media and things like that. But I wouldn't change anything. I think looking back, there were some really, really hard points, and I did stand by my, you know, my relationship and my partner as much as I could. And I think sometimes I think, you know, I look back and maybe I shouldn't have done that so much just because I don't agree with some of those things. But God, it's so hard in the moment. I think you've got to live with no regrets. So you just pick apart every single, you know, part of the experience. But yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And would you do it again?
I used to say no. I used to say literally not a chance.
Yeah.
But again, it's the hope. I think if I got told, we've got you. But they said that last time, we've got you, you know, this amazing match.
Yeah.
I think I could be drawn into it, but then again, I think, you know, I've done it. That was my experience. I've just got to, you know, park that, live with it. It is what it is.
Too traumatized.
Yeah. what advice would you? I know, obviously, they've already filmed the one that's out now. But what advice would you give to someone who was going to do it or thinking about doing it? Don't.
Oh, yeah. I think
just don't.
Be as open-minded as possible, and I think, you know, it is a television show at the end of the day, and I think it's worth taking the risk over it, because it is incredible. But it's just bear in mind how you'll come across. You know, those things that you might think are funny or whatever, you know, sometimes they just don't land as well. But yeah, just, I don't know, give it a go. I'd always say to people to do it. I get a lot of messages about it, should I do it? But it's just, you know, understanding that there's a lot more to it than just you're going to get matched with the love of your life, because it might not work out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Actually, do they show the UK version abroad in other countries? Do you know?
Yeah. So they showed it. I think they did show it in Australia, and then they showed it in the US on Lifetime. But I've had messages from, like, people in the US, but apparently it got cut short. I don't know why, after a few episodes.
Oh, they were like, none of these couples are going to work. Let's bin it.
Yeah, they got to my episode and thought no. But yeah, so I don't. They do some places. Yeah,
That must be interesting, because that's happening with your show as well at the moment, isn't it? So shown in Australia.
Yeah, it's getting shown in Australia now and somewhere else, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, but it's very surreal. International audience.
You get, like, messages like, you know, I watched you in New Zealand, and you're like, what?
Why? What are you doing? Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. Where can we find you on socials if anyone's looking?
Just on my Instagram at Sophie HL Brown. I've got TikTok, don't use it that much. Got my food page, that's pretty lit. Follow me on there.
Nice, fair. All right, well, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, bye. Sophie. Bye. We will play a quick trail and then hopefully we'll have our final guest, Chris, on. Great stuff.
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
And we are joined now by our lovely guest, James Johnson, celebrity hairdresser. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What was Mel B like then? I used to be a Spice Boy.
The best energy.
Did you sing to her?
I can't sing.
Nor can I, but I still
do. I remember the job got cancelled. I went to wherever she was staying in London, it got cancelled. And whoever she was living with made us Victoria sponge cake. So the job got cancelled, we all sat around the table eating cake. I got in the car among mine and I was like, I've just sat with a spice girl eating Victoria sponge.
Oh, noshing a bit of Vicky Sponge.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, there's not much time. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dance?
I've got the shovel in my boot.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he?
That's fan club.
The dating show. Dating or going on dates when you were like a teenager was always quite fun, though. Do you know what I mean? I remember going on dates to like the cinema, or you'd go shopping, like shopping centres, wouldn't you?
I think, if anything, they were maybe this just says about life and where it is, but I used to get really excited, like more excited than I do now. Like the thought of going to meet someone in a park, a boy, it was like, oh my fucking God, what trainers am I going to wear? Are my trainers clean? Am I going to plait my hair? It was like, the thought that would go through my head just to meet one person, whereas now, you know, you might meet someone on the way home from work and it's like the effort, you're still making an effort, but it's like, yeah, I can fit you in. It's completely different.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Well, that was a lovely chat with Sophie. And now we have our second guest, the TikTok twink, I think it's fair to call you, Chris Stanley. Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up?
How are things? What's going down?
Pretty good. You know, not much. Just editing as usual and scrolling on TikTok for ideas. And
is that kind of how it works then for you? Because you have a huge following on TikTok and, well, on social media generally. Do you spend all day coming up with ideas, thinking about things that you want to comment on, say, that sort of thing?
So, I mean, sometimes it's helpful to scroll, but a lot of times I'll just kind of get a random idea and then write it in my notes, maybe like before I'm going to bed or just doing something random. And then yeah, I'll just go back to it later in my notes and expand on it more.
Mm. And like in terms of your ideas, like off the back of that, which ones do you find are more popular? Like the ones where you like think are going to pop off or the ones that, you know, you're like, oh, I'll post this one, but I don't know how successful it'll be.
It kind of varies because with TikTok, it seems like sometimes the most random things will just go viral.
Yeah,
but
that's very true.
Sometimes I have had other like planned videos where I feel like it's going to go viral and then it does. So it's kind of a mix.
Yeah. Yeah.
It must be quite an odd thing though to like, you probably just start this not really knowing where it's going to go. And then suddenly, like I kind of intrigued you, you are the twink of TikTok. Like you forgot, this is like your whole, this is your whole thing, you know? Like, did you ever expect it to go like this?
Is that also your nickname or have you just,
I'm just saying.
I did not expect it. No, I didn't expect it at all.
But what,
sorry,
go on.
I initially started because I was taking a gap year in after high school. So instead of going to college, or I guess uni for you guys, I was just going to take a year off. And then that was like when Rona hit. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to college now. So what should I do? And then it kind of became this.
That seems to be how a lot of TikTokers got their start, was during the pandemic, okay? The first lockdown, because everyone was so bored and you were either making TikToks or you were watching them. And I was very much watching them. But yeah, that, I think that's a very smart decision.
My first, I have made some TikToks.
Oh God, I'm going to look them up after this.
Actually, you do have to look up my grandpa, who is a 38, not 38,
no, that's you,
me.
Grandpa.
he's an 88-year-old TikToker. He's making magic videos. It's very cute.
So wholesome.
The first video I posted was this one to like a sound of being like, if you have a hairy chest, show it off,
right?
And I was like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah,
that's literally all I have. That's all I am. And it got like 27,000 views, and I was like, oh well, obviously I'm going to be massive on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then I was like, posted the next thing and it was like 250. Then I did another one, it was like 70, and I was like, I'm giving up on this. This is embarrassing. Yeah. Like, is that how it started for you? Like, did you something kind of
springboard
it? Yeah, springboard it.
Yeah, it was really similar to that. My first ever viral video was this video I duetted of another guy. It was us, like a little workout, and that like randomly went viral. It wasn't even really about anything in like the LGBTQ niche. So yeah, but I was like, whoa, this app has potential. Mm. And it was like really early on in the app, like right when it was first getting popular too.
Yeah. And what led you to the sort of like, you do a lot of videos where you interview the public and ask them like questions. What led you to doing those sort of videos?
So I'd seen them on TikTok before, but I had never seen anyone doing them in like the, I guess, the gay niche. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was untapped potential, and I tried some at a Pride and like three of them went viral. So I was like, definitely going to do more of these, because a lot of TikTok is, I mean, for me, sometimes was when I'm trying to think of ideas is just trying random things and like see what does well. So yeah, I'm always like down to try new content. So
yeah,
those did well. And then I just stuck with it.
Yeah. Well, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you get nervous though, like walking up? I'm a trained journalist, and I don't like walking up to people in the street and asking them questions.
I was thinking that as well.
Yeah. At the beginning, when I was first doing it, I was so nervous to go up to people because it's just kind of awkward to ask them.
And you'll be asking them questions like, are you a top or a bottom? I mean, it's not like, this is not like, are you having a nice day?
Yeah, sometimes.
That's normally my
first usually I would maybe like, I'd sometimes like have a few drinks before I did it.
Oh, fair.
That's fair. Like
liquid courage.
Yeah.
Understandable.
And have you, like, I watched them as well. And you I watched one yesterday, like, and it was like you interviewed like some of these like macho straight guys. And it was like you interviewed this one guy and you were like, are you straight? And he was like, I'm super straight. And I was like, what's super straight? What's the difference? It's like, have you had any bad reactions from straight guys or? Or funny?
Not really bad. There have been a few that have gotten super awkward, right. But nothing really like scary.
Oh, tell us about the awkward ones.
Yeah. What kind of awkward?
So one of the awkward ones was I was asking a straight guy if he would do something gay for $20. So he was like with his group of friends, and then he just like touched his friend's nipple and was like, is this enough? And like, it was just like really weird. And he like,
then he got on his knees. Kind of,
he's like, how far do I go?
Is this enough?
Where do I stop?
Yeah. And then he was like, I kind of wanted him to do more than that, but I didn't want to like keep pushing it. So he was like, now give me the money. And like, it was only $20. But
sounds
like
a video I've seen before.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the check boy kind of ones. Yeah. Geez. What you obviously also do a lot. With your partner Brett, how does he feel about doing sort of TikToks and that? Sometimes he looks like he's really up for it, and other times he looks quite reluctant.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of TikToks. He's more down when he knows it's for my YouTube channel or Instagram.
Right.
And he also has to be a little bit more careful because of his job. So when it comes to like making videos with me. So yeah, I mean, as long as it's nothing like too bad, he's usually down.
Yeah.
But he just has to be careful.
And is that how you guys met? Was it over like social media, or did he see one of your videos or something and then slid into the DMs? Or
it was through social media. It was also like during quarantine, I was binging Survivor and he was on it. And I thought he was straight the whole time, but then he came out and I'd been like rooting for him. So I just sent him a message and I asked him on a date because he lived in Boston, which was really close to me.
Mm.
And yeah, that's kind of how we met.
Oh, cute.
That is cute. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, like, yeah, the dream. Why is no one knocking at my DMs? That's what I want to know. What tips would you have for anyone that, like, wants to start doing sort of social media as a full-time job? Can you give tips, or is it, like, something that you're just innately know how to do? I don't know.
I can try and give a few tips. I would say definitely be consistent. You can't be just kind of going a long time without posting. Mm-hmm. It's definitely good to have a schedule, even posting every single day if you can. Try and do trends because it's usually a little bit easier to go viral, get more views when it's like something that's trending already. And just try and get better every single day. I mean, like when I look at my first videos, when I first started, they're like terrible. So it's just kind of getting better as you go and not giving up, I guess.
Yeah. And how much of your time does it actually like take up? Like, are you like constantly, like from the moment you wake up, like editing videos or filming them till the moment you go to sleep? Like, that's just what it seems like.
I mean, it kind of varies. I pretty much always have stuff I could be editing, but
you can't be bothered.
Yeah, sometimes. But then I'll just randomly get motivation one day and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna edit like 5 videos today, let's go.
Yeah, because I tried to post a few TikToks like a few months ago and I was exhausted after doing like,
yeah, there's a lot you have to learn, like, with TikTok,
so much
isn't it?
yeah,
which I think is what puts a lot of people off, and also works in other people's favors, because if you are prepared to make that sort of investment in time, then you can really find your niche. Do you think this is like your full-time thing now? This is what you plan on continuing doing forever?
I think definitely just social media for a while, because I mean, TikTok is like kind of homophobic and they always ban me for no reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's definitely good. Like Instagram and YouTube are a lot better, but TikTok is still probably the easiest one to go viral on, I would say. But I've seen myself doing it for a while.
Yeah.
What is that? Is so strange that they're banning them. Is it like any sort of like specific type of content, or is it like just could be anything?
It really could be anything.
Okay.
I mean, maybe a little bit more if I did like a thirst trap.
Right. Yeah.
But then
right.
It's weird because like I will see straight people doing the exact same thirst trap, and sometimes even worse. Like some of these girls on there, like in bikinis and stuff, and I'm just like,
yeah.
But they decide to ban me. I'm like, okay.
One rule for them and another for us.
It always will be. What sort of stuff do you do on YouTube?
So YouTube, I've been doing more vlogs. I also post a lot of my TikToks on there as shorts, sometimes reaction videos, sometimes just videos with my family where we're like reacting to things.
Oh yeah,
stuff like that.
So it's, you've got like quite a varied sort of on your platforms, you're doing lots of different stuff, I guess. So yeah, I guess that's the best way of keeping people interested, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've had this, like, you get this question a lot, or like, man, you're sick of answering it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I saw that like one of your videos got reposted by Madonna. How was that? How did that feel? Like, I mean, as the gay icon that she is, that must have been pretty crazy.
That was mind blowing to me. I still remember the night when it happened. I was like freaking out. I don't even think I realized, like, because I was super excited, but like, it's literally Madonna reposting me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
That is major.
Yeah. Like sometimes when I make videos about celebrities, I'm like, oh, maybe they'll see it or something.
Mm.
But then for Madonna to actually like repost it on her story, I was like, wow.
No, no. Good for her. She can. Good for her that she knows how to work TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, fair. She's probably got a team of people as well that are telling her this is a good one. Repost this. Well, I do have. I know a lot of your content as well. You do with other creators, and I've seen you sort of. It's like it's almost like you go on a little vacation somewhere together, and like you film all loads of content together. In those situations where you don't necessarily know someone, like before you might meet them and do these sorts of things, has there ever been any like weirdness or something odd happened, or you didn't get on or anything like that? Because I feel like if it was just five people who weren't TikToking together and you just threw them together, it
you're
could
some... hint at something yet.
It could get a bit awkward or a bit odd. Has that ever happened to you?
A little bit, nothing really too bad, but sometimes because we're all gay, I mean, we're usually all gay, I mean, like, you know how the gays can be.
I do.
With drama, or maybe like
drama,
someone
gays,
having
no.
a crush on someone, not liking them back, but nothing too bad has happened for me.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it is definitely really usually a lot of fun doing those.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Like,
I think I would
so
feel,
nice
but to... I'm under so much pressure to make good content. It's like you couldn't relax any minute. You're like, everyone's like busy trying to think of stuff and setting up their light, and I don't know.
But you just get in fast, blow up, make your coin from it, and then bow out, and then you can live the happy life.
Yeah, fair.
That's, imagine
it's kind of the dream, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you have any sort of like career plans before all of this took off that you sort of wanted to do?
I kind of, not really. I mean, I played soccer growing up, or football, so.
That was an interesting accent, that was.
It's just football. We're not German. So,
I feel like, I mean, any kid who plays sports, I was like, oh, maybe I'll be like a soccer player, or I kind of wanted to, at one point, do like, be a therapist, or.
I love that.
A massage therapist also.
Yeah, I love that too.
Very, very,
well, you're already 23. There's still time, right? I mean, what if they ban TikTok all of a sudden, you know, or your YouTube page wasn't doing as well as you'd hoped? You'd have to, right?
Or maybe you can be like a post-TikTok trauma therapist.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Both of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Looking after all the gays that have been rejected by TikTok. I like that.
You can't hope that they didn't get the...
My post didn't get many views. What do I do?
I posted two videos and they only got 10 likes.
Yeah. I mean, that's me. So,
well, you know who you can go to first.
Yeah, so I'll be coming to you, Chris. Well, thank you.
I feel like...
No, go on.
Oh, I feel like at this point, if that did happen, I would probably try to go to like social media marketing or something.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've learned enough about it to... be like sort of good enough, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. And I think people would want your sort of insights into how to do it well.
Yeah, you could do like seminars or something and teach
people
do's and don'ts.
Come work for FUBAR. We'll put you to work. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. I've been following you for a long time, so I'm glad to get the opportunity to speak to you, because I do find your videos funny. Sometimes they make me like...
You
like,
say you've been following it since you were a stalker.
I'm not being creepy.
I've been following you for a long time.
All right, you're making me look terrible.
That's you.
All right, enough. So thank you, and great to see what it's like behind the camera on the other side.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, really nice good, really to good to chat to you. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers.
I mean, it is an interesting thing, isn't it? Like, I find that, like the TikTok, how you can sort of, that is your whole job, basically. Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming in and stepping in. It's nearly up, look. Got one minute to go.
Yeah, I mean, totally my pleasure, as always. Thank you for having me.
And stepping in for Bobby, really appreciated. I think he's back next week. Who knows? Thanks everyone for joining us. Thanks to our guests, Sophie and Chris. And until next week, goodbye.